Glory to God. Well, we started last week just touching on the covenant. It may seem unexciting, but it's exciting to me because let's turn over for a moment since we just touched on that. I want to touch on, kind of expand on that a little bit this evening, but let's look at just talking about God's will. Let's go to Deuteronomy in just a moment. I was just looking at this scripture came to my mind. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And these words kept coming up in my heart during the week. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's covenant-keeping. And it just reminded me of this particular scripture. Let's back up again to chapter 7 and verse 6. But I want to land on 9, but let's look at 6. It says, "For thou art an holy people unto thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are on the face of the earth." That's what God's thinking about his people. I'm grafted in. That's me right here. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because God loved you." Boy, isn't that good? "God loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Verse 9. "Now therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which does what? Keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Boy, that excites me. He's a God that keepeth covenant. And we have a covenant with him through Christ. And that excites me. So what I was thinking about is going to look at a few things or examples. But one thing that kind of was rolling around in my heart before we start looking at something this evening was John 10:10, just kind of thinking about that. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to do what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that ye may have life and life more abundantly." And this life that we have is not just, it's eternal life, zoe, but it's not just my salvation. That word sozo is more, more inclusive than just my salvation, my eternal life, but it's this, it means wholeness. And that wholeness is not just my spiritual, but my physical wholeness. And he keeps covenant. He keeps covenant. And it got me to thinking, since we were doing Hour of Power today, it was got me to thinking about 1 Timothy 2, in verse 4, it says, "Who would have all men to be what? Saved." That means wholeness, saved, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Same thing with 2 Peter 3:9. He said he's what? He would have, let me look that up, that verse, 2 Peter 3:9. He said I think I wrote that down. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So if he's gone to that extent and sent his son, then we have healing as part of the redemption. Another scripture that comes to mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Is it all the promises of God or what? Yea and amen in who? In Christ. I like the Message translation. It says, whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. I like that. And just some things I wrote down here, just thinking about this, the ministry of Jesus, we're talking about, we were looking at the covenant that we have in the Old Covenant and then the New Testament, the New Covenant. But what did Jesus say? So, you know, we want to know what the will of God is. What the will is it God's will to heal me? Is it his will to heal me? What did Jesus say? He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, John 6:38. So Jesus was the expression. Everything Jesus did in his earthly ministry was the will of God, was the will of the Father. He came down not to do his will, but the will of him that sent me. John 14, verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you are not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. So everything that Jesus did, everything he healed, you never see him say no. And that's what got me to thinking about these things, is that if it's the will of God for us to be healed, then you have to ask yourself some questions. Then why aren't we sometimes? He can't be missing it. We have to be missing it somewhere. And when people say, well, maybe it's not God's will, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that. Because somewhere we're missing it. We're not connecting somewhere. Because if it's his will that we have life and life more abundantly, and he keeps covenant, then that means we've got to be missing it somewhere when we're not connecting. When we don't see health and healing in our body, we're the ones missing it somewhere. We have to. We just have to be honest and say, okay, where is it? What are we not doing? Well, the first place to look is you just have to start saying, okay, you have to be convinced that it's God's will for me to be healed. And put all the other things out and be led by the Spirit of God. You just got to say, no, it is God's will for me to be healed. The minute I hear somebody say, well, if God doesn't heal me, no, he wants to heal you. That's when the two blind men said, he said to them, believest thou that I can do this? Do you believe I have the power to do this? He said, yes. And he laid hands on them and he did what? According to your faith. So you can see right there that these are some of the areas we have to look at and say, okay, maybe my faith is not doing something. Maybe I'm not doing something because it's his will to heal. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So we can see that everything that Jesus did and said is a direct revelation of the unchanging will of God for all men for all time. It's the direct revelation. Everything Jesus said and did was a direct revelation of the will of God for all men for all time. So when we see that, anything Jesus did or said, if he said, I will, if he said he healed all, then that's the direct revelation of the will of God for all men for all time. And I'm included in that, and so are you. So it's his will to heal everyone all the time. He never said, it's not the right time. He never said, I'll think about it. He never said no. He healed all. So that's the will of the Father. That's the will of God. Jesus was the expression of the Father. It was his will manifested in the earth. He spoke through him. He operated through him. So if he said yes, then it's yes. What did we just got done reading? He said that all the promises of God are yes and amen, are stamped with the yes of Jesus. So One of the things I wanted to look at tonight and spend a few minutes was looking at some examples in the Gospels and looking at some examples of healing. There's a number of them, but just wanted to look at these particular ones. Let's turn over to John chapter 4. This is the nobleman's son. And John chapter 4 and verse 46. John chapter 4 and verse 46. And it says, so Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. For he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, thy son liveth. So you don't see any indication here where Jesus hesitated. He didn't say, come back tomorrow. He didn't say, I need to pray about that. He didn't say, it's not his will. He didn't say anything but, he said, go, thy son liveth. And he kept pressing the man, didn't he? But he responded in a positive way. I'm talking about the man. And he said, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke. He believed the word that Jesus spoke. And he went his way. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 9. This is the man that was sick of the palsy. Matthew chapter 9. Of course, it's in Mark and Luke, but let's look at Matthew. And this is kind of, this was a busy exchange here. This was interesting. Jesus passed over from they just kicked him out of the country because he cast the devils out of the swine. So he comes over into the other, entered the ship and passed over, came into his own city. And verse 2, it says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus did what? Seeing their faith, and said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, wherefore think ye evil in your thoughts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed. Let's look at Luke 5. Let's jump over there. It's the same account, but let's Luke 5 and verse 20. verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the house. They went upon the house top and let him down through the tiling with his couch. That's a sight, isn't it? Into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering, said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them. And you can see here, he saw their faith. First of all, you got four of them that broke up the roof, in the house, and let them down, as it says, on a couch. That must have been a sight, but I think anybody who lets four people let them drop them down through the roof of a house has got faith. I'm getting something, just like the two blind men. They followed, carrying on and screaming, and Jesus didn't even stop. That's where this is in Matthew 9, or not, we're in Luke 5, but Matthew 9, at the end of that, after he healed this man of the palsy, then he left and did what? He was going to see Jairus, and he ran into the woman with the issue of blood. So you can see here in all those accounts, it was faith that caused the power of God to operate. So that's where I'm getting at. It is the will of God to heal. It is his covenant. He's already taken care of that. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. So we have to just settle it and fix it in our minds and in our hearts that it's God's will to heal me, regardless. And then if there's things going on where something's not changing, then I've got to ask God, you can't miss it. You said you would heal me, and you did. So I must be missing it somewhere. Where am I missing it? What am I not doing? And that's what we have to be honest and say, God cannot miss it. I change not. He's without variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He's a covenant-keeping God. He watches over his word to perform it. He brings it to pass. And he's doing everything he can, you know, to get that to work in our hearts and our lives. He goes to great extent to do that. And so we've just got to settle it that if he said it, he'll do it. And that if it's not, something's not going on where it should be, then I need to say, okay, Lord, if I'm not seeing something, then where am I missing it? What am I not doing? And so let's look at another account. This is Matthew 8. Let's look at the centurion servant, Matthew 8 and verses 5, starting in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, you could say a Gentile, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I'll think about it. No, he said, I will come and heal him. So if he said, I will, then if the scripture says that he is not a respecter of persons, if he said, I will to one person, then that means for all men, for all times. So here, he said, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. This is faith speaking here. And my servant shall be healed. Just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. Sounds like the woman with the issue of blood. She just kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Same thing. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, go thy way, and as what? Thou hast believed. This is the key right here. So be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So when it says, go thy way as thou hast believed, he said, he will do it. I've got to do what? Believe it. Believe that he will. Now let's go back to Matthew 9. This is the woman with the issue of blood. And we know the story here as Jesus was going to Jairus' house. And actually, you got Matthew 9. I guess that's all right. Let's go over to Mark 5. We'll look at that instead. Mark 5. And starting in verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was what? Nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, and most of the translations will say, she kept saying, not just she said once, but she kept saying, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, my power has healed you. Now, he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. That's what caused the power of God to flow out of his body, was her faith. And so if anybody has been in a crowd, we're all touching one another. So if it was his power that was going to flow just because you touched him, everybody would have gotten healed, or the power would have flowed into all that touched him. But it didn't, did it? It was one whose faith kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. And what happened? It caused the power of God to go into operation and flow out of him into her body. And immediately she was made whole. Amen. That's exciting to me. And then we've been teaching on this. Let's go back to Matthew 9. We've been sharing on this. The two blind men, It's another account, similar, and of course, in the same account where the man was healed of palsy, and then he was on his way to Jairus' house, and then there was the woman with the issue of blood, and then after he went to Jairus' house and raised the daughter from the dead, what happened? He raised her and then left that house, and he's marching out, and it said these two blind men followed him, crying. And they were determined to get something, just like this woman with the issue of blood. She was determined to be healed. So were those two blind men. They kept crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon us." And Jesus never stopped. He went into the house, and some translations say he went into his house. Some translations do. And they marched right in without an invitation. They're getting something. You know, it's like some of us do. You show up at your neighbor's house. Is dinner ready? You came to get some food, you know? So they marched right in. What was the first thing that Jesus did? He's trying to locate them. He said, "Believest thou that I can do this?" Or some say, "Believest thou I have the power to do this?" And they said, "What? Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." According to your faith. So we've, up to this point, in all of these accounts, we've not seen one time where Jesus said, "Come back tomorrow," or "It may not be his will," or, you know, something that would cause us to think or question the will of God, or to bring that into question. Because there's account after account, it is the will of God to heal. Jesus is the express will of the Father. So we can see here with the two blind men, he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Now let's look at the Luke chapter 17. Let's look at the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, and around verse 11. And in verse 11 it says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourself unto the priests.' And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed." So they obeyed him in faith. And as they went, they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." So you can see here, faith had something to do with it. So we keep reiterating this. It is God's will to heal. He is a covenant-keeping God. All the promises of who? God are yes and amen in, or yea and amen in and through Christ. And Jesus was a divine revelation of the will of God, or the will of the Father. So let's look at another account. Let's look at blind Bartimaeus. Let's look at Mark chapter 10. Always remember, who has come to steal, kill, and to destroy? The devil has. Think about Acts chapter 10. Who God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing what? Doing good and healing all that were what? Oppressed of who? The devil. So we can see the source of sickness and disease. It doesn't mean that there's a devil with every sickness and disease, but the source of it is. So Mark chapter 10 and around verse 46, and it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me.'" So healing's a mercy. Healing is a mercy. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What wilt that I do, that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus saith unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." So we can see here, faith was involved. He called him Messiah. "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." You know, it's interesting, we're getting some feedback from, at least we've gotten a couple of emails, three actually, from three of the individuals that have gone down to the Philippines. And they're just talking about the campaigns that they've been going on with Reverend Mike Keyes, and they've been saying how productive it is. And these are just what I call lay people, but we're not just lay people. We're a holy nation, a peculiar people, anointed of God. We may not stand in a particular office, but we are all ministers anointed of God. And so just exciting to hear some of the feedback. They're saying they're going into these cities and they're saying hundreds are coming to Christ. Amen. And they're saying, this is I'm talking about Geraldine Harper. She said she was surprised. She said, "I'm laying hands on the people and the people are coming up and they're healed." Yeah. And they said, "You're not begging people to be saved." She said, "They're just coming by the hundreds." And I'm telling you, she said, it's life-changing to see it, to see God operate through you. It's there. And so the healing power of God is in us. And the love of God. And so it's just exciting to hear these reports come back of how God is operating through them. And so anyways, let me not get off on that. But let's go to Matthew 15, and let's look at this account of the Syrophoenician's daughter, Matthew 15. We could go to Mark, but we just do this here. Matthew 15 and around verse 28. Actually, let's back up to 21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, she kept saying, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is what? Thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So he kept talking about what? Her faith, not his power, not the will of the Father. He said, your faith, be it done to you according to your faith. Let's look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And this is the account of the man's son with the dumb spirit. And of course, we've been looking at this, some of the lessons that we've been doing on faith. Mark chapter 9, around verse 14. And it says, And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, running to him, saluted him. And when he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answering him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, As of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have what? Compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I'm going to stop because if you read this account and most of the other modern translations, the father said, "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us." He said, "If you can do anything, see to it, if you can help us." And Jesus turned around and said, "What do you mean if I can help?" That's what most of the translations, New International, New Living Translation, all of them say, what do you mean if I can help? If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. So he was trying to locate this man. And it wasn't, again, we're back to this, what do you mean if I can do it? He's a covenant-keeping God. Some people are saying, well, Lord, if you could just heal me, what do you mean if I can heal you? I already have healed you. All things are possible to them who believe. And I keep saying that because Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he said one of the things that Jesus spoke to him and said, "My people don't have a problem with believing." He said the problem they have is with their saying. And he kept saying that to Brother Hagin and said, "You're going to have to teach more on the saying part than the believing part." People do believe that it's God's will to heal. People do believe that he wants them to be whole. People do believe it's God's will for them to be whole and healed. So when you ask people, that's why sometimes I'll listen more to people than I'll say anything. But you'll hear when you ask someone, "Well, do you believe it's God's will to heal you?" "I believe that." And people do sincerely believe it's God's will. Then the question becomes, now let's look at what are they saying? Because it's what the Johnson paraphrase says. If you become disconnected from what you believe with your speech, it won't come to pass. It will not come to pass. So those are the things that we have to look at here, that if we believe that it is his will, then we have to maintain, like the woman with the issue of blood. "I believe if I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." I remember, you know, and I remember things that I experienced. I remember at meetings years ago when Charles Capps was alive, and he was teaching at some of the Kenneth Copeland meetings. He said he used to have a problem getting poison ivy. And he liked to hunt and he liked to fish. And he said, "I like to hunt." And he would go into the woods and he said, "You know, I would come out with just covered with, you know, get poison ivy on my body." So he said, once he began to learn God's will and he began to learn the word of God, he began to say with his mouth, "I believe that my body's healed of getting poison ivy. I believe that." And he said, but yet he would go into the woods and come out and he'd have poison ivy. So if you were going to go by that, whether something happens or doesn't happen has nothing to do with the will of God. The will of God is the word of God. And so he took the word of God and he said, "Well, I'd get what I knew to do. I'd get my calamine lotion, slather it all up," and he said, "I'd walk through that process. But while I'm doing that, I'm saying with my mouth, my body is healed of this," and he'd go on and he'd have other professions. "This body is redeemed from the curse of the law. Every tissue and every organ of my body functions in the perfection of that it's made to function in. I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. My body does not function in a way that gets poison ivy." And he said, "I did this," is what he said, "I did this for about 6 months." And he said, "It got to the point where I could go into the woods and grab poison ivy and strip it down with my hands on the tree and not get any." Why? Because the life of Christ that raised Jesus' dead body began to operate. Faith released the power of God in his body, and his body began to do what? Repel that which was the curse. But he had to release his faith. He had to do what? Keep saying. He had to keep saying what he believed. He had to keep saying it and keep saying it, regardless whether his body got it or not. His body getting it had nothing to do with the will of God. His body rejecting it had all to do with his faith. And he had to keep saying it. He had to keep saying it. And that's what, you know, I just remember those things. He said the same thing. He liked to fish. And he'd say, he'd get in one side of the boat. The other guys are on the other side of the boat. They're all casting out. And he said, all the fish were coming on his side of the boat because he said, all the fish come to me. He was releasing faith. And he said, he's pulling all the fish in and they're getting upset. All the guys on there are like, hey, we're out here fishing. We're not getting anything. He's getting all the fish. They said, can we switch sides? He said, sure, no problem. The fish just went on the other side. And that's what happened. He said, that's a true story. He just called the fish to him. His faith was working. And so it's important that as we go through these, we just see, be it unto thee according to your faith. Make, you know, like Brother Hagin used to say, be like a bulldog. Just take that and say, that's my word, that's the word of God to me. And that's promised to me. If it's in the word of God, it's for me. And if it's not working in my body, I keep saying it. I keep saying it. I keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it until it does change. Now, does that mean I don't go to a doctor? That doesn't mean that. A doctor can't heal you or not heal you. If you need to go to the doctor to get something to help you get by until the things start working in your body properly, then go do that. But don't put your trust in the medicine and the doctor. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying the word. And the word will change the body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken my mortal body. It has to. It must change. Amen. Let's look at another account. Let's look at Mark chapter 5 again. Let's go back there. Mark chapter 5. This again is about, I guess we should have stayed in that chapter. Mark chapter 5, this is about Jairus' daughter. And around verse 21, it says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He worshipped him and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. So he's releasing his faith right here. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. This is where the woman with the issue of blood comes in. So all this crowd's following him, pressing around him. So now let's jump down to verse 35. And it says, and when he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. This is just exactly, you know, when you think about it, when the disciples were in the ship and they were going to the other side and Jesus was praying, and what happened? It said as in the night he walked across in the middle of a storm, he's walking across, and he said, is that you, Lord? Come. And Peter jumped out of the boat. The rest of them wanted to play it safe. It's too windy and rough. So Peter jumps out, and what happened? He got his eyes on the situation, and I guarantee if this man had got his eyes on that situation, he would have lost his daughter. He would have. He said, what did he say? Be not afraid. And he said, and actually, when you think about it, this word here is an eternal word. That could go with all of us. Be not afraid. Only believe. When symptoms come, be not afraid, only believe. It doesn't mean that you don't get corrective action. If you need to call 911, it just means call 911, be not afraid, only believe. That's what that means. Be not afraid, only believe. And so what happened? It says, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, see, they were in fear and afraid, and that was not a faith environment or an atmosphere of faith. So when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel. They were in faith, and them that were with him, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12, and they were astonished with great astonishment. So you can see here, he just said, what? Be not afraid, only believe. Only believe. Do nothing else but believe. So we can see here that what is not present in these accounts, all these accounts, there's nothing in here that states it's not his will, come back another day. There's nothing in those accounts that indicate that. What's the theme that's in that? Be it unto you according to your faith. That's the theme that you see in here. He's saying, so his faith, or you could say your faith in his word, will make you whole. Your faith in his word will make you whole. That's what he kept saying. Our faith will make us whole. Only believe. So we can see here that Jesus, just in wrapping up, everything Jesus did was what? The will of the Father. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. What was his will? To heal all. If he healed all then, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed all then he'll heal all today. Whether it's all people or all situations, he's going to heal all. So he's not selective. You know, if it wasn't his will to heal all, then you'd have to say that the redemption didn't cover all. And that's not true. If it says he would have all men to be saved, then that means it's his will that all men be healed. And so we can see that when Jesus took our sin and sickness, we can see that from Isaiah. And you can see that in Isaiah 53. Let's just read that scripture in closing. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs or pains, or sickness is grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So we are healed, not going to be healed. We were healed by his stripes. And so we have to do what? Believe that. Receive it, believe it, be not afraid, only believe. And receive that. And I, you know, for all of us, it's not just waiting until something comes up in our body and we begin to speak. No, it means that we continually speak the word of God. We continually profess the word of God so that what? We are releasing faith. And what is that? That causes the power of God, the spirit of life, to continue and function in our body, cause this body to function and operate normally. What it also does is that when you release faith, God watches over his word to perform it. He's watching over it to fulfill what you're speaking. If you say this body is functioning and strong and is healthy, then he has to watch over that word to perform it. So that means he's going to do what? He's going to direct our steps so that that word can be fulfilled. It's no different in the natural. If we profess that I'm blessed, my bank accounts are full, everything I set my hands to is blessed, then that means he has to watch over that to make that come to pass. Then that means he's going to direct my steps in life to fulfill that, so that it becomes almost what you would call a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm going to prophesy and say what the word says, that I am healed, I am blessed, my bank accounts are full. Well, then he's going to then correct me and tell me what I should and shouldn't be doing, where I should be going and not going to fulfill that. So if there's things I may be doing in the natural, if I need more rest, he's going to say, you need to do such and such, so that that can be fulfilled. So this is where sometimes we miss it. God does desire that we be walking in health and healing. But we've got to profess constantly that I am healed, that the word of God is working in me. The healing power of God is working in me. The life of God is working in me. Because otherwise, just believing it without saying it is not going to work. Just believing it and not saying it is not going to work. See, when the scripture said, when Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith, think about what he, in every one of those accounts, they heard of something, they believed it, and then they're marching saying, if I do this, if I do this, if you come over and do this, my daughter will be healed. They had to release some faith-filled words. They had to speak what they believed. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believed, and therefore we speak. We speak. So you've got to speak what you believe. You've got to profess what you believe. Otherwise, it won't work. Or you may have minimal results. Let's put it that way. So I hope you're getting something out of this. This is just something that we're going to keep feeding on and feeding on and feeding on till we get to the place where we, if we've reached a place of some level of success, we can go beyond that. We can come up a little higher. If we're having some success, wonderful. Praise the Lord. But we can have better success. We can be strong and vibrant. You know, when I hear the stories, you know, don't think that once you start working these things that you're not going to have some things going on, some tests. You know, when I hear some of the testimonies of some of these men and women that are out doing missionary work and they come across things that they run into overseas, you better have your faith working. That's not the time to learn. And so, you know, I just say that there's nothing impossible. I kind of think about, you know, Jessica Warwick, the Warwick family, that were here for a number of years and relocated to Tulsa and Broken Arrow area. And Jessica was, she's still short. She's about this tall. She's a little firecracker. And she wore an insulin pump. For years, she wore it. She had to have insulin constantly pumped into her body to maintain, you know, some function in her pancreas and other things, you know, what was going on. And she went to prayer and healing school every day for 2 years. Every day, didn't miss. And her dad, Ken, said, we were out there a couple of years ago, he said, her pancreas just started to work. That just didn't happen. That was consistent hearing of the word, faith coming where now, I've got this. And then she had to say it. And that which she was told would not work began to work. Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead began to do what? Quicken those dead parts and provide life to those dead parts. And so now she's doing all right. Amen. And if it's a pancreas, it can be your lungs, it can be whatever it is. Some part that's not working right, we can speak to it and command it to change. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll see you next time.